Now, let's open our Bibles. We are continuing our teaching on the true righteousness. We are going to read today from a number of scriptures. One of them is very long, and maybe we should read that one first, the book of Romans chapter 5. I'm reading the whole of chapter 6. Just a few verses in chapter 5 is where I'm going to read first before we get into chapter 6. So the book of Romans chapter 5. I'll start from verse... I'll rush here and there. Let's just start from verse 17. He said, "For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the free and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted, all right, condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous." Now, this is a summary of the whole thing, all right? The English is getting too much, don't you think so? All right. The summary of it is this: how does sin enter into the world? It's really sin of one man, all right? That is Adam. There was a particular kind of a sin that Adam committed, and that produced that opened the door, all right, for the reign of death in life. So everybody who came into this life had to fight according to Charles Finney, he had to fight the amplified temptations of the devil, and then they will always fall for it, and then they began to walk under the influence of spiritual death. How did that come to an end? The Bible says that death reigned until Moses. That is, what happened was that when Moses began to teach and preach, God showed people a way out of death by obeying the commandments, and they were not able to do it. So God finally brought his own solution, and that solution is the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody who believed in him, because Jesus, he did the exact opposite of what Adam did. Adam, by disobedience, brought sin and death into life. And then Jesus, by his obedience, all right, brought righteousness and life, all right, into this existence. That is, before that, Adam brought sin, and the consequence of sin was death. Then Jesus brought righteousness, and the consequence of that is also what? Life. You understand what I mean? So that's what Paul was trying to explain to us here. So that, listen, the way sin was reigning, what we have reigning now is righteousness. Now let's continue, verse 20. It said, "The law came in so that transgression will increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more." It says, "So that as sin reigned in death, so, even so, grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, the next line says, "What shall we say then?" Now, this is why I'm reading this, because we began to speak the other time. Let me just review before I continue to read this. What we have been talking about is righteousness. I have emphasized again and again that we do not attain righteousness by our works. That is a gift of God. And we said this is what righteousness means. Righteousness means to be accepted. We read a story from, I think, the book of Luke chapter 16 about a man who wanted to be accepted with people when he would be in trouble. So what he did was to offer them favors ahead of time. And what men do, what we do as human beings, is to try and do favor for people, all right, favors for them, so that when we will need favors, they will return favors to us. And that's what they call righteousness. That is, we are trying to attain righteousness in the face of other people, so that when we need something, we'll be accepted. That's the best way to explain what righteousness is. So when men want to attain righteousness, therefore, with God, what they are trying to do is to walk so that God will be favorably disposed towards them, and then when they will need something, he will do it for them. And so there are different ways by which people do it. So the very best example, which I've used again and again, this is just because it's the prevalent thing today in Christianity. That's my best example. That's the reason. People, when they want to receive from God financially, when they want to receive material blessings, they've been taught, all right, and they so believe that they first have to attain their righteousness by giving. Therefore, what they do is that they give so that God will have to give back to them. That is just what righteousness is. But that is called the righteousness by works. And I'm saying to you again, our righteousness as believers is not like that. We don't work hard so that we can get to heaven, so that when we die, we'll have a passport to heaven. That when you are going, you must take some souls with you. When you will die, and then you show them, you know, like part of your passport to heaven. You stand like this and say, "Hey, St. Peter, Alpha." They say, "You are the one manning the gate. Look at the number of souls I won for the Lord. I have told you, the truth about it is that naked and alone you came into this world. Naked and alone you will return. If you like winning 1 million souls, nobody, they are not following you. They will go by themselves, one by one. Not one single one is going to be held to your account. Because Paul plants, Apollos waters, God gives the increase. God claims the souls for himself. What you do is obey, you understand, and leave it to obedience, all right? So people try to, so I'm not going to emphasize that we don't get to heaven, all right, because of what we have done. The reason, the only reason, the one reason, the beginning and the end of the reasons, single one reason why God blesses you is because Jesus paid. Are you getting my point? And that is what is called righteousness. So if I walk into the throne of grace and I need help, God will not look and say, has he given? He says, sir, he has been a great giver. He says, so give back to him. No, he doesn't do that. Maybe he used to do that those days. Maybe he did it with the widow of Zarephath. Maybe he did it with Abraham. Maybe he did it. I don't know whether he did. I'm just saying maybe. But ever since Jesus came and he poured forth his life, every time God wants to give to you, he looks and says, why should we give to him? And Jesus will say, because I died. Because I shed my blood for him. Because I shed my blood for her. And that's what the Bible means when it says he ever lives to make intercession. That is, God never, he can't. You understand? It's not possible to have to find another reason to bless you beyond the fact that Jesus has paid. That's why I said to us again and again, don't insult him. Don't ever go into his presence to declare what you have done. Don't ever go into his presence and say that, look at how much I have given, so you'll give back to me. Don't ever go into his presence and say that, listen, I have won this number of souls. There's no way you won't bless me. Because there are many ways I won't bless you if you're not careful. But why will I bless you? Because Jesus died. Are you getting my point? He died and paid with his life for everything you will ever dream of or imagine. If you want to get to heaven, it is because he died. And he has paid. Your sins have been forgiven. Are you getting my point? That is the point about it. He shed his blood to eradicate all those nonsense things that the devil will have used against you. The sins of your ancestors, they have been shut off and shut up by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's what we mean when we say righteousness is by faith. That is, we come, we are accepted with God, not because of our works, but because of the work that Jesus did. By his act of obedience in obeying the Father and going to the cross and shedding his blood, laying down his life, everything has been paid. Therefore, we come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And that's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I say it all the time. Christians, I know some of you are the pastors, enough now, we don't hear. Listen, you never hear. It's not only because of you I'm saying it. But I will say it so much until when you sneeze, the truth will come out of your nose. Are you getting my point? Yes. I'm going to drown you with this truth. I'm telling you. I've been disappointed many times. You finish teaching, then you hear them talk. Your heart breaks. Are you getting my point? So are we? Oh God. You never hear them. That is, your hearing has just begun. This is just a joke, by the way. It really happened. D.L. Moody. How many of you ever heard of D.L. Moody? One day he met a young boy, a young preacher. I think when he was in the U.S. And he said to him, no, in England. I said, if you ever come across to America, just check me out, maybe you'll preach for me. The young boy showed up one day to his surprise. He wasn't expecting it. The boy just showed up. So he had to fulfill the promise. You preach. So he was going to travel now. They just organized a small program so that the boy could preach. His wife told him later, oh boy, the crowd, they said use the small hall because who knows this little boy? Who's coming to listen to him preach? But the crowd kept on coming every day. So his wife told him that they had to move to the bigger and main hall so that they could accommodate the crowd. He said, what is that boy preaching? He said, he says the same thing every night. So he came back home and joined the meeting. The first day he came back, the boy will mount the pulpit, a young preacher, and say, open your Bible to the book of John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes not perish, And the boy will preach on that John 3, 16. The following night, they will start again. They text John 3, 16. The third night, so one day they were eating. D.L. Moody finally said, how long are you going to be taking your text from John chapter 3, verse 16? The boy said, till everybody believes it. Till everybody believes it. So how long am I going to be shouting that you don't receive from God because of what you did, but because of what Jesus did? Till everybody believes it. By the way, he said that was when D.L. Moody's ministry changed. Before that, he was a hellfire preaching person. The soul that sinned, it shall die. God has different temperatures in hell. You know, those kind of things. These are the days of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards used to preach fire, not fire and brimstone, it's hellfire. That he will preach so much, people will hold their chest, that lest they fall down into hellfire. D.L. Moody was of that school until that young man began to preach. And that changed his ministry from what I heard. Now, let me get back to my own message. So, why am I saying this again and again? Because everybody must believe it. You will prosper in life because Jesus paid. Did I hear an amen? Amen. Say, Pastor, I've not yet given enough. Listen, your giving is not necessary for that prosperity. Are you hearing me? Say, Pastor, I have given plenty. Your giving is not necessary for that prosperity. And by the way, if you had your hope set on the fact that you have given excessively, I warned you last time, you should not have come to listen to me. Now that you have listened to me, I've come to tell you the truth. Your account is 0000. Once your faith is set on that which you have done. If you have said to yourself, this is my business that's about to start, I have to sow a seed to hold it up. That seed was rotten upon planting. That's a new rhyme, don't you think so? Rotten upon planting. Give it to a Christian rap artist. It will work. Yes. It doesn't work like that. Remember our Jabezic prayer. You just walk to God and ask for anything. Say, what have you done to deserve this? I have believed in the person who did everything so I can deserve it. From today, we'll begin to talk about what Jesus did for us again on the cross. What does his death mean? What does his resurrection signify? What does it mean now that he's seated at the right hand of God, all right, in heavenly places? What does it mean? So what have you done to deserve prosperity? I believed. What have you done to deserve healing? I believed. I've heard people say this on TV. Sow a seed towards the deliverance of your child. It's a waste of time. The only seed you need to sow is faith. What did I say? Faith. If you believe, I mean, say your grandchild is on drugs, right now you are going to plant a $58 seed for the next 12 months. It's a fat lie. It's not necessary. If you will kneel down there and say, Lord, my grandchild is on drugs, help him, deliver him. It has more potency than that your seed. Why? Because this time around, your faith is in nothing else but what Jesus has done. I hope you are getting my point. Christians, give in a godly way. What's a godly way? If you see that the ministry needs money, you dip your hand into what God has given you. It's called honoring the Lord with thy substance. You just give God out of faith. It's out of a glad heart. The thing that ever justifies us is faith. Justification is not, I'm happy. No, justification is that what is the reason why God will bless you? And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That is the reason why God blessed him, was that he believed. I said this last time, let me repeat it again. God has enough reasons in Christ Jesus to bless you. Did I hear an amen? Amen. We operate by God's promises. If God says, I've given this to you, you believe it, it's yours. That has more value. If people don't understand what faith is, if you understand what faith is, listen, let me tell you something. Faith is actually more difficult than parting with money. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. It's more difficult. That's why people choose the easier one. Have you not noticed that criminals give? Why? It's easier to give out of stolen money than to stop stealing. If I steal a billion and settle God by 200 million, I still have 800 million. But God says, I don't want anything. What I just want is obedience. It's better than sacrifice. Stop stealing. You say, oh, I'm going to be broke. Yeah, that's the idea. You have to be ready to be broke. Until you are ready to be broke, you are not saved. So we take this Yahweh out. Give God a part of it. And those of us who want to collect it, we stand there and say, yes, right, you know. Just give God a part of it because I'm God that's collecting it. You know now. I'm the God that will help God collect it. You want to hear the truth? I'll say it loud. Faith is hard. Let me tell you what faith is. Let me give an example of what faith is. You understand what I'm saying? Nehemiah, when he was setting out on his journey, it was perilous. They were going to build. The king offered them armed guards. What did he say? What are we going to say to the people that we have bragged about our gods to? He told the king not to bother, that our God will take care of us. Do you know how that is? You are going to the den of kidnapping to go and do... Right now, you know preachers go around with armed guards. You know that? Imagine you say, no, I'm not going with armed guards. I'm not saying armed guards is bad, though. I'm just trying to explain a principle. That Nehemiah said, don't worry. Let's trust God to take care of us. When Samuel was about to anoint a king for Israel, when all their enemies gathered, he said, every one of you, don't bother. They won't be able to do anything. That is, take your eyes away from them. Focus on me. Hey. Faith is hard, you know, in that sense. And that's why it pleases God more than anything else. I said to you before, I said, but God, Abraham gave God Isaac. No. You must understand that was not the issue. Abraham obeyed God. There's a world of difference between obedience and giving Isaac. It was not, I love you so much, I'm ready to give you Isaac. No, it is that you are the Lord, you are God. You said give Isaac, therefore Isaac has to be given. It has nothing to do with whether I love you so much, I want to give you anything. If Rebecca had asked for Isaac, she wouldn't have gotten it. I hope you know that. Did I say Rebecca? Hey, Sarah. Sarah say, Abraham, do you love me? Do you love me more than this? Say yes. Prove it. Sacrifice Isaac. Now you're going to say Abraham, he beat person. That's when you know. With all the, no, it wasn't love that we're talking about. It was obedience. Please understand it. What pleases God in your life is what? Faith. I just need to say it again. Until everybody believes it. By the way, next week when I start again, I will say it again. You will hear this every time until you get tired of hearing it. Then when I'm sure you have gotten tired of hearing it, I will start it again. No, that's a matter of fact. We have forgotten who Jesus is. We have forgotten what he did for us. We have been taught, and it's very common in today's Christianity, to do these things by ourselves. So if a man is asking God for something, they say, what have you given to God? And if he says nothing, they tell him he's not ready yet. I've told you, that's a fat lie. Everything that God needs as a seed to bless you, Jesus has sowed it. Are you getting my point? What we are doing now in life is to walk in obedience. Let me say this again. You know, I know I've said it, but I just can't get away from it. It's a problem. You know, we are playing into the hands of the devil. When we say we have done something, therefore God should do back. We have left the area of grace. Now, let me say this again, because some people may misunderstand what I'm saying. It's right in the light of other things they have heard. There are realms in which those things work. I hope you understand my point. If you enter into Ekanka, that's what they do. Grail message, that's what they do. Buddhism, that's what they do. All these other religions, that's what they do. It's a trade, you know, I do, you do kind of thing. Every time something is wrong, I wonder what I have done wrong. Are you getting my point? There's a realm, there's a spiritual realm in which people operate like that. So you go and meet an Islamic cleric, he appoints for you sacrifices and things to do. Even traditional religion, that's what they do. You're having problems, they prescribe sacrifices for you. Some of them, it sounds funny, but some of them include dancing naked at night. You know, once you bat in, come out in some places, 3 a.m., they dance at Waka Around Junction, you will see a woman naked, carry something on the head. She's not mad, though. Now sacrifice. You go reach Junction, you go drop her. He says it's a waste of time. I agree with you, it's a waste of time because you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you need to do it, though. I don't know what I get my point. If Jesus had not delivered you, you go waka naked too. Now, when problem jam, you go understand. A lot of people are walking and they never see issue. When issue wakes up in the morning, my name is issue, I've come against you. when they say dance naked, you go dance naked. But why don't we do those things? And that's what I'm preaching. Because we operate in a realm where Jesus had danced naked. He danced, now get my point. He danced naked, not to a junction, but to a cross. You're not getting what I'm saying? He went there, offered a sacrifice, not of animals, but of himself. That's why God said, you don't have... You see, when you see those paintings of Jesus Christ, wear a tie robe. It's so that the picture won't be X-rated. The truth is that he didn't tie nothing. They stripped him completely. He danced naked. He didn't just go to a junction. He carried the junction on his back. Then they hung him on that junction. And he was a sacrifice that all the spirits gathered to eat. That is why we don't need to do it. I hope you get what I'm saying. I hope you're getting it. We don't. That's why we don't need to do it. It's not because, you see, people went to her, they're in ignorance. You know, I had a discussion with a friend of mine. It pained me. I didn't have time to talk with him. He was explaining to me that the reason why Christianity is all over the world and traditional African religion is not, is because the people that practice Christianity, the Europeans, they conquered the world. And if Africans had conquered the world by now, you go to America and you see Church of Ogun. And you go to Europe, you see Church of Obatala. And you see Church of Amadioha. You know? I said, oh God, we didn't have time to talk. I said, it's not so. Christianity is not just a religion. It's an end to all religions. That is, when people wake up in the morning, because I told you, at least I know about the culture in the Western Nigeria. All those sacrifices they used to make, they used to do them so that the gods won't get angry. The name we give a particular one of those gods, Eshu, we gave that name to the devil, is because that particular one was wicked. Every day they had to appease him. And those things were not jokes. Those guys were spiritual. They were. Why don't we do it anymore? Listen, all judgment is with God. Eshu doesn't have any power in himself. And God has been appeased. Are you getting what I'm saying? He has been appeased. When there will be no rain, they will offer sacrifices for rain. We don't have to do that. We offer prayers for rain in the name of Jesus because he has already been offered as a sacrifice for rain. When there's infertility in the land, either physically women are not conceiving or the earth is not yielding, they offer sacrifices. We don't anymore. Not because those people were jokers. No, not at all. They were not jokers. They had more spiritual insight than most people today. We don't anymore because Jesus has already offered the sacrifice for fertility. Therefore, we offer a prayer in his name. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. When we need to prosper, those men, they knew what to do. These Muslims practice it today. They call it zakat. You go and give alms to the poor. You go and do things for the purpose of having God respond back to you. We don't do that anymore. Not because those people were not spiritual or confused. They were spiritual. They were not confused. Why don't we do it? Because Jesus has done it for us. And because he has done it, we offer prayers in his name. And once you offer prayers in his name, everything he did is taken as if you did it. And God responds upon, that is based upon what he had done. Do you get what I'm saying? That's what righteousness is. So when we say hearing is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, what that simply means is that anything I lack in life, anything I want to achieve, if I'm in doubt concerning why it should be given to me, I take my Bible and read it and find out whether Jesus actually paid for that one. Do you get my point? For example, if I wanted your wife and I read the scriptures, I will not find where Jesus paid so that I can have the ability to take your own. Do you understand my point? So I withdraw the prayer point. I don't know whether you get what I'm explaining. But if I wanted my own that I don't have yet, houses and riches fathers can give, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Jesus paid for that one. You are getting what I'm saying? That's how we live as believers. Again, let me say some people will balance. So are you saying Christians don't need to give to prosper? Yes, that's what I said. In those terms, straightforward like that. Somebody said, you cause confusion. No, you cause the confusion. I'm trying to correct it. Should Christians give abundantly? They should. They are people of God. You are getting the point? The love of God has been shed abroad in their hearts. The love of God has what? Been shed abroad in their hearts. I've been saying this for the last 2 weeks, that is two meetings here, that those good works come out of our souls because the Spirit of God has been planted inside us. We need to work hard to confuse the manifestation of that Spirit of God. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Goodness radiates out of us because we are good children of God. Good children of a good God. The seed of our Father is inside us. I don't need any motivation of reward to be a good man. Are you getting my point? I don't. I just do what is good because it is just in my blood. And if it is not manifesting, you see the reason, more reasons again. Number one reason is because I have forgotten what Jesus did for me. One of the reasons why people, listen to this, why people are not generous. You know, I keep using this as my main example because of what Christians teach a lot about giving. They want to manipulate people, you know, to overcome their stingy nature. One of the reasons why Christians, human beings, are not generous is because they are afraid. Another reason is because they think what they have, they got it by their own power. So they don't understand why they should suffer and you should enjoy. Huh? What is wrong with them? Why should I help him? That time, when I was awake, he was sleeping. But we understand that a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. And we understand that different people have different capacities to acquire. And everybody has an assignment in life. It's one of the reasons I wrote the book, So Who Will Pay for This? To explain to people who have plenty that there's a reason. I'm not talking to unbelievers. If you are not a believer, why you have plenty? It can be because you did evil sacrifice or because Satan is pursuing you, you can't sleep. I don't know. There are many reasons. Or you have converted your soul energy to money. I've discussed that one here before. It is possible to, no, go and read physics and chemistry. Talk about interconvertibility of energy. Kinetic energy can become electrical energy. In the same manner, soul energy can become financial energy. So if you're supposed to live to be 100 years, you will die at 45, a billionaire. You have converted 55 years to $1 billion. Yes, it's true. It's doable. And most people claim they are doing juju for money. They just know how to manipulate it. I used to wonder before, say, if that man who say he will make you rich, if he's really powerful, why is he not rich? It's simple. He's not ready to make the sacrifice you are ready to make. You see, the man is 80 years old. There's a reason why he's 80. You will never make it to 80. You came to see him at 30. You are going at 42. That is the truth. That is the truth. So I don't know why a non-believer. I don't know. You understand? I just by the way. But for Christians, there's a reason why they are wealthy. There is a reason. There's no equal taxation in it. If you are in a church, if a man who's earning 500 naira gives 1% of the salary, if you are earning 5 billion, you give 99.5%. Your stomach and the other man's stomach are about the same size. And God expects them to eat about the same kind of food. So why am I a billionaire and is a unit near? You understand my point? The reason is simple. There's something that is assignment in life which you need billions to accomplish, which this other fellow doesn't need. Like I say all the time, I'm a preacher. Amen? I'm not a builder. I'm not an architect. I will never supervise a building that I will live in. In Jesus' name, I will never do it. I will never. The architect will come to my house. I will show him what I want. Then he will go and draw it. Then he will talk to the building engineer. And between the two of them, they will build it. Then they will give it to me. If I'm there supervising the rod, number of iron rod, when will I be there to supervise the number of verses to quote? You're getting my point? That's the issue. Listen, in life, I know God has, not God will, God has blessed me and He will continue to bless me abundantly. But know the truth? I'm not lying to you. I have never desired personally to be a billionaire. Never. Like you say, they are naming billionaires in the country, they will name my name. Well, for what? But name preachers and you don't name me. Na in wahala go dey. You understand what I mean? Look at it from a spiritual angle now. That God said, who are the preachers in Nigeria? I said, God, you overlook me. Which sin did I commit? Tell me so I can repent. So I start preaching again. He said, these are the richest men in the world. Well, they are not the preachiest men in the world. We are on the preachiest men's side. Yeah, you get my point? Everybody has his own in life. I prayed for my wife that she will have billions and billions. I anoint my children that they will be, whichever one of them, I've done the eye one, will be like, say, go follow me. You understand? Hey, that one, I don't go pray that kind of prayer for them. It won't lack. Are you getting my point? Just like I won't lack. If I want to own a private jet, I will just ask God for it. In due season, I'll go park and for front. Here, you go see him. I'm telling you. Why don't I want to own a private jet? I don't know where I'm going with it. Right now, once I have a private jeep, it's better than a private jet. No, really, that's just the way life is. So we understand that as Christians, that's the point I'm trying to make. We know. So if I find myself with $1 billion today, I don't feel like I'm better than the guy next door who's a preacher who doesn't have $1,000. It just means that one major reason why he doesn't have $1,000 is because I'm irresponsible. Many of us will be shocked on the day of judgment. Shocked. Now, God won't do this, but let's assume he wants to do it. So who are those to be flogged? Let's call Brother Dangote, all right? How many strokes? 75 strokes, sir. What did he do? He said, see these pastors. They were never comfortable. They were always moving from one house to the other because landlord, they pursued them. I said he should have built each one of them a house. He did not. He was flying private jet and buying private yacht. So what do you get? 75 strokes. Hetoa! Next. See all the billionaires go queue up. Your back will bleed. Now, God won't do that. Are you getting my point? It's an illustration, though. Don't go and say, hey, God, I'm going to get in trouble. I don't talk like that, too. I just illustrate, too. And that's why, as a preacher, nobody is going to cover my mouth. Are you getting my point? Nobody will cover this mouth. In fact, you know, God is good. I said, God is good. See, God don't arrange me. He has arranged me very well. He said, Banky, go and hire a small hall somewhere on the top floor of a building. Now I come here. So in anything I say here, I can't be sacked. Who won't sack me? Ask the person when they give me an employment letter. I can't be fired from preaching. I'm the CEO, president and founder, general overseer. Are you getting my point? So anything I like, I say it. If you don't like him, you don't go invite me to your church or you won't come here again. No, be so. You know what I'm saying? So, because there are things that if I don't say, when they say, preachers for flogging, they will line me up. Say, why were these people walking in ignorance, trying to pay their way into prosperity? Say, because Banky wouldn't talk. He doesn't want to offend anybody. He knew what they were preaching was wrong, but he said, if I say it now, people will get angry. Let me not write it in a book, it will offend people. Let me not preach it on air, people will be upset. He said, so you left 1 million people to be walking in ignorance because you don't want to annoy people against the war. How many strokes? 1,250. Why? Because James said, teachers will be judged more harshly. Not millionaires. Teachers, so you give the billionaire 75 strokes, Where's bank? He put his bag there. 1,250. Twice. Why? Because when I said he should speak, he did not speak. Because he did not speak, there were 1 million more billionaires that would have been made, but they were entrenched in the works, the righteousness of works. Therefore, they never could tap into grace to bring out their flourishing on this earth. Who's responsible? Banky will not talk. Do you get my point? That's why I'm not going to queue up to start a company. You must understand what I'm saying. I'm not queuing up like, okay, me too, I must have this number of cars or build houses. No. If I want a house, I see there are two people there. Rocket, Bishop, I need a house. Two of you go and arrange it. I'm not coming to decide to. If I come, I don't like you, you break it down and start again. I am the preacher. You are the house builder. Everybody has an assignment. Now, that is why we are generous as Christians. Are you getting my point? So God gives me more than I legitimately need. That means there are people that he's not going to pass that money across to directly. And he says it is my duty to ensure that they have all that they need so they can focus on what they are supposed to do. I'm not trying to bribe God to give me money. I'm just fulfilling my duty as a called Christian. You are getting how we reason as believers. We have left this realm of, if I don't do this, they won't give this one to me. No, we have left that realm. Anything that is needed for me to be given anything has been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm doing right now is fulfilling my ministry. Look, there are all kinds of practices when we forget this issue of fulfilling your ministry. People say ministry must tie to a bigger ministry. I don't tie to any bigger ministry. No, I'm serious. And we have only become more blessed as the years have been passing. Anything Jesus has not yet paid for, I don't need it. How do I operate? Faithfulness. We are prudent with everything. Make sure every naira gets good value or service. Are you getting my point? If we are faithful in little, he will give us much. Not as a matter of we are paying. Are you getting my point? It's more of you can handle more. I gave you 1 million to do ministry. I saw the 1 million naira effect. Good. Now I can give you 10. I can give you 100. I can give you 1 billion. We prove to be faithful. If God calls me and says, through many ways now, as part of the assignment of Kingdom World Ministries, give regularly to this ministry out of the abundance I will give to you. Oh, God, get my point. It's what? Faithfulness also. It's not a trick of getting more. Listen, let me tell you what I'm trying to preach. I know it's not popular. All right? But it's the liberating truth of the Word of God. Everything you need in life has been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. What we are doing right now is just fulfilling our ministry. I hope you're getting my point. I said we're reading somewhere, right? Let's continue reading. So that's what we have been explaining. I want to go on talking about that, all right? Hopefully, I'll be able to wrap that one up today so that from next time, or in fact, beginning from today, we'll begin to talk about what Jesus did for us on the cross. I've been emphasizing the issue of righteousness all this while. And I said in chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Why did he say that? Because of this that I've been saying. If he said that we are not justified, we are not going to heaven because of this, so we'll not start doing anything we like recklessly. Because grace is what is helping us. Paul said, never, never. May it never be. That it is not our nature. How shall we who die to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ, that Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death, that is, we have been immersed. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Let me quickly say something, please, here. Let me just explain the principle that Paul was trying to explain. Now, there's what he calls dying to sin. What does that mean? You've heard this expression before that people used to say those days that Chris Okotie gave his life to Christ after he had enjoyed life. Are you getting my point? I don't know whether I ever heard things like that. Some people, after they've enjoyed life, they now give their life to Christ. So I remember then some young men used to be angry. Like, this is not fair. They preached to us in secondary school. we gave our lives to Christ. Since then, all we have been doing is clapping our hands and singing hymns. Party will not greet go. Drink will not greet drink. Smoke for where? They not allow, now listen to this, so they didn't allow all these things. That a man has done all of those things. He has womanized every womanizing he wanted. We walked in self-control. Now we are going to the same heaven. It's not fair. Friend of mine told me that once. I said to him, it is because you call it enjoyment. Are you getting my point? We have understanding, we call it suffering. The Bible calls it debauchery. Are you getting my point? Let's take a good example, this cigarette thing. I'm a doctor, I'm a pathologist. I say it all the time, cigarette could only have been invented in hellfire. Not in hell, hellfire. They must have been looking for a way to consume fire. So they invented weed. Because it does no man any good. It has no accidental therapeutic effect. It has no deliberate therapeutic effect. It does not even have pleasure in itself. It says, because you have never smoked, it's not true. Nobody smokes without rejecting it initially. But it has an addictive effect. That's what it does. So, if they said don't smoke, it was for your own good, not because of... You know, after smoking is not even a sin. Are you getting my point? Yes. Say, Pastor Banky, yeah. You had another one to eat. Yes. Smoking is a bad habit. A man who overeats everything, just they go. He's a worse sinner. And the man will only use one stick once in a while. Some people say, oh God, this is your doctrine now. Wow. C.H. Spurgeon was a smoker. You buy his books, don't you? Now, you know, say, I reject all his books. No. But he had arthritis. See what I'm saying? You go to heaven and say, oh, you smoker. You know, when we're young, those days, they used to sing one song. Say the Bible said, the hell of you entertain guests with wine. Is it death or tribulation unto you? That those of you who smoke is a lie. What did I say? It's a lie. It is him that smokes that shall have cancer of the lungs. Have you, as a man who has just finished smoking, talked to you before? You almost die. It is foul. It's a bad thing. The devil has to lie to you for you to be a smoker. I'm good. There's something I'm not explaining all of these things. You are destroying your flesh. It's like crossing the road. Say, what's going to happen? Nothing. You close your eyes like this. Cross road. Just close your eyes. Then one truck uses to see whether his brake is working or not. It's the same thing. To make it worse, this one costs you money. Cigarette is expensive. You light one, drag it. They said on the average, every stick is 5 minutes of your life. You're supposed to live to be 90. By the time you finish smoking, 60, 12 times 24, you know, that sticks. That's 12 minutes for 1 hour. One whole day out of your life has gone. By the time you do it for years, you probably will die at 60. Having smoked, that is, what am I saying? You have been destroying your life. God doesn't have to, now, I'm going somewhere now. God does not have to command, thou shalt not what? Smoke. I'm going somewhere. Therefore, let us assume that we are somewhere and they are commanding, thou shalt not smoke. And we did not smoke because we went to church. Then we learned pathology, we learned medicine, we learned public health. They did not say, okay, that commandment, thou shalt not smoke, has been lifted by the Pope as a parting gift. As he was leaving, you know, he has resigned now. That he said, one gift I'm giving the body of Christ is that the smoking that was hitherto, okay, condoms. So now all of you can go and use condoms. I don't want. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. You say that why should the Pope tell church not to use condoms? He's not talking to you, unbeliever. If you leave it alone, the people he's talking to, they don't need it. I don't know whether you are catching what I'm saying there. People say, the Catholic Church is not allowing people to use condoms. If you do everything the Catholic Church is saying, you wouldn't need it. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. So the Pope now says, now, okay, everybody can now smoke and now go to fellowship. Praise the Lord. Guys, we can now smoke. The man who brought the news
we will do him what David did to the man who brought the news that Saul was dead. Do you get what I'm saying?